Bible Baptist Church, located at 2015 Beulah Road in Madisonville, Kentucky, would like to invite you to listen to a message of the sovereign grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ by their pastor, David Edmondson.
In the book of Exodus, chapter 13, we find Israel finally delivered from the bondage of the Egyptians. God had sent 10 horrific plagues upon Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt. And each time, Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let God's people go. But after the death of the firstborn, the 10th and final judgment of God against Pharaoh and Egypt, Pharaoh was glad to see them go. Now, I want to pick up that story this morning in Exodus chapter 13, beginning in verse 20. It says, "And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." In these verses, we are introduced to the pillar of a cloud and the pillar of fire. And it's important to know that Israel did not just aimlessly wander in the wilderness. It was God that led them. And God led them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and God led them by night with a pillar of fire. And when the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of the fire would move, Israel would follow. It's important to know that the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of fire did not follow Israel. They followed it. Look at verse 21 closely. It says, "And the Lord went before them in a pillar of a cloud to lead them, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light." It was the Lord that went before them in both the pillar of a cloud and the pillar of fire. Now I want to read you some verses in Exodus chapter 40 that I think will very much help us to understand what this pillar of a cloud and this pillar of fire represent and picture in the scriptures. In Exodus chapter 40, beginning in verse 34, we read, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter in to the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up." You see, they did not go ahead of the cloud. They didn't lead the cloud around. The cloud and the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of fire led them. "For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all of the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. From the time they left Egypt to the time that they went into the land of promise, the pillar of a cloud and the pillar of fire led them." What a picture this is of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, that leads and guides us. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Christ, speaking of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verse 13, said, "He will guide you into all truth." Now, hear me on this. Every word that God speaks to you through the preaching, true preaching and reading of His Word, every revelation, every ounce of true spiritual knowledge, understanding, and wisdom comes through the Holy Spirit. This is God's ordained means. Now, you and I know that there's one God. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Just one God, not three gods, but one God in three persons, not three individual gods working separately, but one salvation by one God, Father, Son, and Spirit working together as one God. John said, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Just one God and just one salvation. Now, in the book of Exodus, God the Father shows himself as God when he, in covenant mercy, brought Israel out of Egypt with a strong hand. God had chosen before the foundation of the world to make Israel his chosen nation and people, and he foretold of their captivity and their release, their freedom, their liberty to Abraham some 400 years before, but God had ordained it long before that, before the world was ever made. God chose Israel to be his nation and his people. And in this book of Exodus, God the Son shows himself as God the Savior, the Redeemer. And he does so as the Paschal or the Passover Lamb, whose blood was shed and applied to the door and lintels of the people of Israel. And God, in mercy and grace, passed over all those to whom the blood was applied. What a beautiful picture that is of Christ and his people today. Those who are covered with the blood of Christ shall never see the wrath and the judgment of God. And then here in our text, God the Holy Spirit reveals himself to be the pillar of a cloud and a fire who leads his people in their homeward journey to the land of promise. God the Father elects, he chooses, he calls and delivers. God the Son redeems by the shedding of his blood and the perfect work of righteousness which he accomplished. And God the Spirit regenerates, quickens, makes alive, and leads his people throughout this life. This is all the same salvation by one God. Now, each part mentioned is absolutely essential and vitally important to the salvation of the sinner. Let me read you a few verses out of the book of Titus, chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now, how is a sinner saved? I want you to pay close attention to this. First, by the kindness and love of God, who chose us and called us and conformed us to Christ. It wasn't by our love and kindness toward God, but his love and kindness and mercy toward us. We love him because he first loved us. It certainly was not because or by works of righteousness which we've done. It was according to his mercy, God's mercy. It was according to his mercy he saved us. How are we saved? Well, first we see in these verses here in Titus 3, by the love, kindness, and mercy of God the Father. How are sinners saved? Well, verse 4 tells us, by God our Savior. That's speaking of Jesus Christ, who is the kindness, love, and mercy that appeared toward man, Paul writes. Christ came into the world to save sinners, and every fallen man and woman that has been chosen by God will be saved by that love, kindness, and mercy toward them that's in Christ and Christ alone. That's what verse 6 tells us, that God shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. How are sinners saved? Verse 5, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And how beautifully we see that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are all have a vital part in the salvation of God's elect. There's no salvation apart from the election of God. There's no salvation apart from the shed blood and perfect work of righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no salvation apart from the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Oh, there's much for us to learn here about the Holy Spirit of God. Many times in the scripture, and very, very plainly in Psalm 99, verse 7, we read concerning Israel and this pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire, that God spoke to them, his people, the people of Israel, in the cloudy pillar. And isn't that what the Holy Spirit does? What a picture this is. The Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and he shows and he reveals them to us. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In chapter 15 of John, verse 26, he says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. That's why in our preaching, a man who preaches the truth, a man who's led by the Spirit of God, is going to testify of Christ. That's what he's going to speak of. He's not going to try to tell you how to live and what to do and what not to do. He's going to encourage you to lean on Christ, trust in him for all the righteousness, all the perfection that God requires from every sinner. And then in chapter 16, verse 7, the Lord Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I'll send him unto you. Now, why was it expedient that Christ go away? That word expedient is defined as a means of attaining an end. It's expedient. It's the means to the glorious end for the believer to know that Christ died, rose again, and now sits on the throne as God, so that he could send the Holy Spirit to reveal to us and teach us why he did all the things he did for his people. It's the only way that they could be saved. The Holy Spirit teaches us how. Key word. How? That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Not if he did, but how he did. The Holy Spirit reveals to us that Christ was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And in this we know that Christ was accepted and that we, those who trust in him, are accepted in him, the beloved of God. We are accepted in the beloved. So that we might know that where he, Christ, is, we may be also. And I'm telling you, if you know that, and you know why, it was the Holy Spirit that revealed it to you. Let me show you that if I can. Exodus chapter 33, verse 8, and it came to pass, when Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man in his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face out of that cloud, as a man speaketh unto his friend. God spoke through the cloudy pillar, and it's through the Spirit of God, dear sinner, that he speaks to you. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 5, it says, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord." Now, this is how the Lord speaks to and teaches us, not just through a preacher. If you only hear the words of a preacher, then you're not going to hear anything that will effectually save you. But God teaches us and speaks through His Spirit as the Word is preached. Isn't that what Paul was saying? He said, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." You know, when I see a preacher or pastor that's so full of themselves and think that folks should bow down to them, that tells me right away that they're not a true servant of God. A true servant, a true preacher of God is humble, and he'll tell you right up front, "Don't put any trust in me. I'm just a man, just a man, just a voice crying in the wilderness." Preachers plant, and preachers water, but it's God that gives the increase. Continuing in verse 6 of Exodus 34, "And the Lord passed before him in the pillar of the cloud," or the Spirit, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, even to the third and the fourth generations.'" And we're told that Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. You see, friends, it's through the Spirit of God that we hear and that we preach, and it's how we learn of God's mercy and God's grace and God's long-suffering, how we learn of His goodness and truth. This is how we know that God forgives iniquity and keeps mercy for thousands. The Holy Spirit shows us from the Scriptures and teaches us and makes it effectual to our hearts by giving us a new heart, by making us a new creature in Christ Jesus. This is how we know that God is so holy that He will by no means clear the guilty, but that He's going to visit, He will visit the iniquity of sinners and punish sin. We know it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit teaches us. It's through the teaching of God's Spirit to us. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God," he said, "but our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." That's how it came to us. What did our Lord say about the Holy Spirit? He said, "He shall testify of me." He said, "He'll teach you all things. He'll bring all things to your remembrance." Did you notice that the cloud was always directly over the tabernacle and most accurately over the mercy seat? In Leviticus chapter 16, verse 2, God says, "For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat." It seems as though every time that they stopped, that the cloud or the fire would rest over the makeshift tabernacle that Israel had. This pictures and represents the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you cannot separate God the Holy Spirit from the work of Christ. Now, whether it was the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night, it seems that it was always directly over the tabernacle and especially over the mercy seat, which represents Christ, our propitiation. You see, the mercy seat is where the blood was shed. It's where the sacrifice was offered, and the blood of that sacrifice was shed. And the mercy seat contained the broken law, which demands perfection from us. This showed that the blood of Christ fulfilled and justified the law of God. It was the shed blood of Christ sacrificed in our room instead that fulfills the law's demands and satisfies God's holy justice for us. God is appeased only by the blood of Christ, and the Holy Spirit is always, always identified with Christ, the sacrifice and the substitute of God's people. And if you're ever to see salvation, it will be found in Christ and revealed by the Spirit of God upon the mercy seat. Now, back in my text, verse 21 of Exodus 13, we read, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night." And here we see that God, the Holy Spirit, is our light. Not only our guide, but our light. Well, isn't Christ the light of the world? Absolutely. But who shows you that? Who teaches you that? God the Spirit. Who gives you the grace to see and believe it? Who gives you the life to understand these things? Now we see who Christ the light is by the Holy Spirit, and we also see who and what we are, and it's the Holy Spirit that shows us those things. Now this book, the Bible, that I'm reading from this morning, is a closed book without the light of the Holy Spirit. This book is impossible to understand apart from the light and revelation of the Holy Spirit. The gospel does not come by education. Understanding the gospel comes by revelation. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. Galatians 1:15 and 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to read you these verses, verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, and neither have entered into the heart of the man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." There it is. "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, he that is taught by the Spirit, judgeth all things, yet himself, he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? And then he says this, "But we have the mind of Christ." How did we get that? God, through the Holy Spirit, gave it to us. God the Father chose us and called us and conformed us. God the Son redeemed us by the shedding of His perfect and precious blood. And God the Holy Spirit regenerates us, gives us life, teaches us, shows us Christ, reveals Christ to us and in us. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, I've got to mention this before I finish. What was the pillar, or the Spirit of God, the pillar of a cloud and the pillar of fire to the people of God? Well, we know this. It was their guide, and it was their light. But what was it to others? That's a sobering question. What is the Spirit of God to you? Well, it's the same thing today as it was to them. Back in Exodus chapter 14, verse 19, We read in the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now, what's going on here is God had hardened Pharaoh's heart again, and he sends his army out to destroy Israel, whom he had just let go. And here they are, they're caught between the army of Egypt and the Red Sea. You know the story well. We've all seen the Ten Commandments. We all know about the parting of the Red Sea. But here we see that the pillar of the cloud, who was in front of them, all of a sudden moves to behind them. And verse 20 says, and it, the pillar of the cloud, came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, God's people, so that one came not near the other all night. You see, friends, God the Holy Spirit not only reveals, but he also conceals. The pillar was darkness to the Egyptians. And it's the same today. To some, it's light, and to others, it's darkness. What was the difference between Israel and the Egyptians? Well, the pillar was. The Holy Spirit is still that difference. Who is it that makes the believer to differ from another? Well, it's God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's God who makes the difference. Paul went on to ask, well, what do we have that we didn't receive? And if we received it, why do we glory as if we did something to receive it? That's a very good question. Salvation's of the Lord from beginning to end. The Lord said of the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it cannot see, neither knoweth him. But you know him, because he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit of God makes a difference. The Egyptians didn't know what the pillar was. They thought, what is this? But it was darkness to them. And it was the thing that kept them away from the people of God. This world doesn't know God, but God's people do. And look at verse 22 here in Exodus 13. He, God, took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. What a verse of mercy and grace that is. All through Israel's wilderness journey, this pillar of a cloud and fire was never taken away from them. Despite all their failures, despite all their murmurings, despite all their unbelief, despite all their rebellion, God never withdrew the cloudy pillar. God will never take his Spirit away from those for whom Christ died. Our salvation is not conditional on us and what we do. Our salvation is certain and sure because of what Christ has done for us. So my encouragement to you this morning is this. Rejoice and rest in his redemption. God has provided for his people everything that God requires from them. Christ is all in all.
You have been listening to a message by David Edmondson, the pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of God's free, sovereign grace in Christ, you can write to our mailing address at P.O. Box 652, Madisonville, Kentucky 42431, or log on to our website at freegraceradio.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, we meet at 2015 Beulah Road, Madisonville, Kentucky, and our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m. Worship services begin at 11 o'clock a.m. Wednesday evening services at 7 o'clock p.m. Please tune in again next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for another message of God's free and sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus Christ.